are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, now we go to one of my favorite segments of the week. This is where I get together with two other folks who provide opportunities for this show to have content. And I mean, like, wow, they got opinions. They got opinions. And these are our two friends who come on quite often, Butters and Lee. Hit me some whoop-whoops on that, man. All right, Butters, are you on the line? We got you.
I am.
You
I'm
are.
Excited to be here.
How you, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm a little sad I'm not in the studio today.
No. We'd have to just do with your disembodied voice, but I'm glad you're here. And then Lee from Huntsville, how you doing?
I'm here.
You are Hello. Indeed. Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. All right.
I am doing good today.
Hey, by the way, I've been told by Leanne from Huntsville, who just texted in, said I need to ask y'all happy questions. So.
Happy. Okay.
we apparently had some serious topics up to now. She did ask me to ask you a happy question, like, what's your favorite American food? So I'm going to start off just real quick and say, Lee, what is your favorite American food? Like, comfort food for you would be what?
Oh,
so caught you off guard.
Sweet potato fries.
What is it?
Sweet potato fries.
Sweet potato fries. I did not see that coming.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good.
Oh.
I like it. Okay. I'm turning to the other side over here. Butters. American comfort food.
I'm going to have to go with chicken and dumplings.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan. Hit the Cracker Barrel, get the chicken and dumplings with the side of dumplings and some good old green beans.
Yeah, nice.
Side of dumplings? It was a lot of dumplings.
I need a lot of comfort.
There's a whole lot of comfort in a plate full of dumplings. All right. Let me ask y'all some other questions that are not as happy, but I want to hear your thoughts. So here's the deal. I just talked about this a moment ago. So the president of Mexico, right? What do they call him? AMLO. Something Lopez Obrador. Anyway, the president of Mexico said he didn't plan to really provide any help with the southern border crisis unless his demands are met, which includes things like lifting the embargo on Cuba and Venezuela and paying $20 billion in U.S. aid to Latin America. So basically, some are saying he's just holding the United States hostage. Your thoughts, I'll go with you first, Lee. What do you think about the president of Mexico having demands?
I think he sounds like a mobster, trying to exert extortion on us. We won't let them come across your border as he, like, hits his hand with
yes.
something. But you're going to have to do something for us first. And how about this? Your little crap hole country wouldn't exist without us being right over the top of you, you thankless turd. And here's what I would also tell him. No. And we're going to tax all the money coming back into your country, 50 or 60%, unless you stop them from coming into our border. How about that?
Okay, don't beat around the bush, Lee. Tell us how you feel. you thankless turd? Is that what you called him?
I did.
Okay. All right. Quickly, Butters, what do you got on the president of Mexico having his extortionist demands of the United States?
Well, obviously, it's ridiculous. But I will say, so it shows the weakness that we have.
Boy,
I think it's part of just the international narrative. And so I guess I'd say props to him, take advantage of the situation that you got, milk us for all we're worth. But we as Americans need to beware. I mean, like, the fact that he's even willing to ask that and all the other stuff we've got going on in the world, people need to realize just how much we are, just not respected much anymore. I mean, it's Mexico,
yeah.
Bunch of thankless turds down there just feel like they can push us around.
It's We just went from one thankless turd who runs it to now we got a bunch of thankless turds.
Well, I mean,
at the same time, you're giving them props for is, like, it, wow, seize the day, man.
It is ridiculous. And sadly, it definitely just the children are running the world now.
Yeah. I look at this and I see it as I understand why you would say prop. It's like carpe per diem. It's like, okay, you can get paid. Why not? And that's
what
they're
sarcasm,
doing.
By the way, just before, you know, everybody starts texting in, you know, burn butters at the stake or something like that. That's ridiculous.
Oh, final comments on this, Lee.
It's ridiculous. They need to be swatted down like the bug they are. That's it.
Okay, so we have a very low opinion of the country of Mexico on the show today. All right, let me switch gears. Oh boy, this one, I tell you. So yesterday up in Huntsville, Lee, your neck of the woods, House District 10, which I don't think you live in HD 10, do you?
I do not.
I didn't think so. No, that's right. HD 10 is in a different part. I remember that. But yesterday up in House District 10 in the Huntsville-Madison area, there was a special election. A lot of folks didn't see it coming, apparently. A Democrat actually won in what has been a GOP seat for decades. In fact, this is the exact same seat that was held by Mo Brooks. You know, one of the most conservative members of Congress, certainly of our U.S. delegation from Alabama. And Mo Brooks, that was his whole seat. And now it got flipped to a Democrat. Now, the liberal press, like nationwide, has been having a freakout moment over this. They're loving it. There was even a statement issued from the Biden White House extolling the virtues of this woman, Marilyn Lanz, who the Democrat who won, claiming that she ran on the ideas of abortion being necessary for all, and how she's created a new watershed moment for Democrats. Is that what it was? The GOP says it's a bad turnout. What are your thoughts on this? Butters you first.
So the biggest thing is just continuing to beat the drum. You've got to pay attention to local politics. I chalk it up probably to a lot of complacency on the GOP side of things. Mm. People not paying attention.
Yeah.
I think that the Democrats were... Well, they're just a whole lot better at scaring everybody, I guess, you know, and I think that probably got a lot more votes out. First thing I did when I saw this, I actually sent the 1819 article to my mom over in South Carolina because she's working with a state representative over there that's in the same thing. And it's, I mean, the writings, they're going to just smear the Republicans left and right. So we got to be careful of what we're. You know, what we're saying, what we're talking about, and paying attention, and, you know, don't give them ammo. I mean, I think it's just the massive scare tactics, the languages that they're using of, you know, that we're social extremists. You know, it's just all of those things. They're just doing a really good job, I guess, of getting people out and making them scared that you know.
Okay, you bring up. Well, I tell you what, I'll wait till Lee talks first, and then I'll ask a question about the follow up on that. But all right, Lee, so your thoughts? HD 10, was it a watershed moment for Democrats? Is abortion the hot button issue they say it is? Your thoughts?
No, I think it's I think it was turnout because yeah, I mean, you just look at the numbers. I mean, you can see how low what single digit turnout. I mean, it's just she was better mobilized, and the Republicans didn't put up a good candidate. That's just all there is to it. He didn't have a lot of name recognition. He wasn't well known, a little squishy. That's what you get. And we must learn as a Republican Party. We seem not to, but we must learn that, you know, we have to have better candidates. And better candidates are known for, you know, their stances. But also, as I think a lot of people just don't think about the special elections. Now she's going to be in there until what, 26?
Yeah.
This is, you know, she'll lose because when it comes time for everybody to do the down ballot, you know, straight ticket voting, she'll lose. But she's going to be in there for 2 years doing damage. And here's something for you, House District 10, all you people who didn't bother to vote.
Yep.
You're getting no seat at the table.
None.
This woman will get nothing done.
Nothing.
All she's going to be is someone to clip sound bites for the national, you know, Democrats. No, it's nothing more than a fluke, and she'll be gone. But the problem is they'll use her like Wandling Van, you know, just saying dumb, crazy stuff, you know, and they'll clip it and talk about how stunning and brave she is. I mean, this is all there is to it, but it shows you what it gets you when you have these special elections. And thanks a lot to the dude for cheating and putting us in this position. Way to go.
Oh, yeah. The David Cole guy that lost the seat. Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, way to go. But so I agree with parts of what both of y'all said. I think that there is still an issue here. I think that the Democrats have done a better job of branding and trying to grab a sensational moment because they were in the wake of the IVF freakout, and they were using IVF and abortion as pretty much her whole platform. And yet there's not a single way in God's green earth that she will ever affect public policy in Alabama on the question of abortion, because our laws are already cast and no one's going to go undo them. Certainly not her.
Right.
But then on top of that, I agree with you, Lee. I think this is an absolute moment of voter apathy. The people weren't paying attention. People were. And I even had some text a show yesterday and said, well, you know, we didn't really like that Republican, so we just didn't turn out for him. I'm thinking, well, then you got what you got. You know, that's like saying, right, I didn't like Trump, so I didn't vote. Well, you got Biden.
That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard.
It's awful. So. It's absolutely awful. But that voter apathy, we had, 14% turnout? It was awful. She won.
Oh, was it even that high? I mean,
it was bad.
Yeah, it was so low. But here's the thing. Listening to him talk at the MECREC meeting, the Madison County Executive Committee meeting, and nobody was excited about this guy. So I'm just saying, put a better candidate out there. Part of this is our fault.
Yeah. I agree. And I don't know where, by the way, and answer me this if you know, because Lee, you live there. Was there much of assistance from the state? I mean, did Governor Ivey, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, did Speaker Ledbetter, did anybody come up there and speak for this guy and sort of help campaign for him? Or was it like, good luck, buddy. Hopefully we'll see you in Montgomery.
I mean, not that I'm aware of, and you would think I would be. Not really. No, it's just more of a good luck. I think that they should have done more. I think a lot of people take this state and say, oh, it's a red state, and they take that for granted.
Yeah.
But this type of thing can really put a chink in how we do things. And plus, I just hope they all enjoy it. And a lot of conservative people live in House District 10. Enjoy your total lack of representation now for 2 years.
Yeah.
Way to go.
No doubt. All right, you guys, listen, that's round one of Butters and Lee. We'll go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come right back. And this is where we flip the script. And I just kind of wait with bated breath to see what questions they ask me. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys, stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I'm going right back now with our friends Butters and Lee. This is the part where we switch gears and they ask me questions. Now, Lee swears she's not going to filibuster today. So I'm going to go ahead and go with her question first. But Lee, before we start, you got to hear this text. Big Rig's going to read out for you. We just got a text, and tell him who it's from and what it said.
Gary from Decatur says, it's official. Mexico is now a third world country.
A third world country.
That's awesome.
That is too funny. You have now coined a new euphemism that we are dealing with third world countries south of
that's
our border.
T-shirt.
That's a bumper sticker and a T-shirt, man. All right, Lee. What
sounds
is your
like a dipper too?
It might even be a whole dipper. Good night. All right, great. Who was that sent that text again? By the way,
that was Gary from Decatur.
Gary from Decatur, you're the winner for the day. All right, Lee, what's your question for me?
Okay, so you've seen all the hullabaloo or whatever about Sean Diddy Combs.
Oh, yeah.
Being, you know, his home being raided, et cetera, people being arrested. He flew off to the Caribbean. My question for you is, I don't think they really know where he is right now exactly, but my question for you is, how far-reaching do you think this is, and how much does it influence both pop culture, you know, music, politics, even maybe even the ministry, kind of dragging T.D. Jakes into this? And do you think he'll serve time, kind of like R. Kelly?
Wait, is T.D. Jakes involved in this? How's he involved?
Oh, yes, he is.
I had not heard that. Bishop T.D. Jakes?
He's tight with him. He's tight with him. And T.D. Jakes is kind of, I mean, there's been rumors about him possibly being gay for a long time.
What? Okay. Oh, God. All right. Hang on. We're not even going to go down that road. But all right. So where do I think this goes? I have no idea. I do know this. There's no way in the world somebody of his fame and stature, I say stature, you know what I mean, like people know who he is, that can hide out forever. The question is, did he move? Did he go to somewhere where there's no extradition treaty? And
right.
And so, yeah, his plane, I saw reports saying that his plane had basically left LAX, I believe it was, and had then, you know, gassed up somewhere else and then flown towards the Caribbean and may have gone on towards one of the island nations that did not have a true extradition treaty. So I don't know what to expect, but I mean, do we have another Jeffrey Epstein? Because look how that wound up.
Right.
I think we're going to wind up seeing some people who are sitting on pins and needles right now who partied at Diddy's house that are hoping that there's not a recording. And I think we're going to find out some pretty disturbing things about stuff that happens among the pop culture elite. But I also, I mean, how far it goes, I don't think we're going to see the little black book the size of Jeffrey Epstein's, but I do think there's going to be other names swept up in it. There's my answer.
You think like R. Kelly, that he may end up serving time depending on what they find?
I don't think that the, of course, I say this knowing full well they raided Mar-a-Lago, but I don't think that they would raid his houses at separate times, you know, or, you know, at the same time at separate places around the nation, because it was more than one mm-hmm. location. And then
right.
do the things they did if they didn't feel like they had a need to grab evidence quickly that could otherwise be destroyed. So I'm pretty sure that he's facing some charges. They just got to find him first. So there you go. All right. With about 2.5 minutes, what do we got? You got more for me? I'm sorry. She's taken over. Look at that.
I was just going to tell you one more thing about him. And I know I'm now on it, making it long. His ex filed former business partner / girlfriend filed the suit against him, you know, and he settled in 48 hours. You're an attorney. How fast is that?
That's called somebody doesn't want somebody to talk, and they recognize they got a lot to talk about. All right, with like only 30 seconds left, what do you got for me, man?
Article, Washington no longer requires passage of bar exam to
practice law. I saw this. Oh, my gosh.
The Washington Supreme Court shows they're mandating alternative pathways to get a bar, that the bar exam getting there disproportionately and unnecessarily blocks marginalized groups from practicing law. Thoughts?
My thoughts are there's going to be a large number of appeals in the state of Washington in the coming years for, inefficient representation of counsel. And you're going to have people claiming, I went to court and the guy didn't even know what was going on. You're going to have that left and right. I guarantee you. There's a reason why we have a bar exam, and it's tough, man. It was like a mental version of Ranger School for me, but I passed the first time. But it was 3 days straight. I think I hand wrote something like 31 pages of answers. And it should be that way because the practice of law is sacrosanct and it means something. All right, state of Washington, go figure. It's a turd world country up in Washington, apparently. All right, Butters and Lee, love you both. Y'all have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number 3 coming up. We'll be right back.